In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a great day. Confirmation is a great day. A great day for you who are being confirmed. A day for which you have studied, memorized, waited, and prayed. A great day for you parents and family members. A day you have looked forward to for years. A great day for the pastor. A day anticipated and planned for through hours of instruction and preparation. A great day for the entire congregation. A day to remember our confirmation. And a day to welcome these young members into fuller participation and responsibilities in this congregation. Most importantly of all, a great day because this is a day when the Holy Spirit will breathe on us. There is an old hymn that is a perfect prayer for that to happen. It says, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love all that you love and do what you would do." Could you please repeat that with me? Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love all that you love and do what you would do. When God breathes on us, his life comes into us. His breath gives life. When God formed Adam out of dust from the earth, God breathed into his nostrils, and the man became a living creature. Our gospel reading today from John chapter 20 is from the story of Easter. Though Jesus had risen from the dead, the disciples were still hiding in their locked room. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Lord breathed on his disciples, and they received the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning. More spiritual power would follow on the day of Pentecost. So 50 days later, he finished what he started on Easter night when he breathed his new life into them. The account in Acts chapter 2 says that on that day of Pentecost, the disciples were all together again, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The same word is used for wind, breath, and spirit in both the Greek in the New Testament and in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. In the imagery of the Bible, when God breathes, a wind comes out of his mouth, the wind of the Spirit that gives life. Now, when does God breathe on me and give his spirit and life? Well, if you ask the confirmants, they will definitely, tell you that the first time when the Spirit comes in us is in baptism. Jesus told Nicodemus that the life we receive at our natural birth does not bring us into the kingdom of God. In order to become part of God's kingdom, to have God's life in us, we must be born again. And that happens when God connects us, his spirit, his breath, to water in baptism. So, confirmants, you are born again. In your baptism, God breathed and you were born again. God also breathes on us and gives his spirit in our confession of faith. After I am baptized, I continue to learn what happened at my baptism and what it means for my life. I learn that I am a sinner and that I need forgiveness. I learn, especially, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. When I confess my faith, saying, I believe, I trust Jesus, my Savior and my Lord, God has breathed on me. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So God breathes on us at baptism, and our confession of faith is a result of God's breath. And yet, another important time for God's breath is at confirmation. When we are ready to make a public confession of the faith we were baptized into, when we have been taught the faith, when we are ready to promise to be faithful to our Lord even into death, then it's then that we are confirmed. What does that really mean? Well, there are different ways to describe confirmation, but the dictionary definition stresses the word firm. In confirmation. To be confirmed means that something is made firm, made certain, and made sure. So, how are you made firm at confirmation? Well, confirmants, you will confess your faith and make a promise. Does that do it? Does your promise make you firm? No. The pastor, after you guys give your testimony, the pastor will put his hand on your head. He will read a Bible verse and he speak a blessing. Does that do it? Does the pastor make you firm? No. Well, the congregation, at the end of the rite of confirmation, the congregation will pray, and your parents will lay, your immediate family will lay hands on you. Does that do it? No. All this is involved, but it is God who does the confirming. He is the one at work through his word in you. And specifically, it is the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that is working in you. Hear the blessing that is spoken at your baptism and that is going to be spoken to you again in your confirmation today. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, he strengthened you with his grace to life everlasting. God has given you his Holy Spirit. God breathes the Spirit, and you are filled with new life, and you are confirmed. Baptism, confession of our faith, confirmation, these are particular times the Holy Spirit breathes on us and it is at work in us. But confirmation is not a final fix that takes care of you for the rest of life. You heard from me and others say that confirmation is not a... Very good. Some other people know too. Confirmation is not a graduation. In addition to baptism, confession of faith, and confirmation, the Holy Spirit continues to work in you through the means of grace. And you know what those are. His word and his sacraments. He works in us through that so we can live out our Christian faith with the help of the Holy Spirit. The bad news is that the devil will not leave us alone, and he will try to lead us astray. He will tempt us to leave our Bibles to get dusty, or to think that church and God are secondary. I'm too busy for that now. I finished my confirmation, so I'm done. Which can cause you to become weaker and weaker in your witness. And then to get to the point that we doubt in yourselves and we doubt in God. The devil may also get at us when he makes sin look attractive and we see others doing it, leading us to believe in the lie that if everybody's doing, it's okay for me to do too. The devil has his own ways to get at each of us individually. Excuses, hard times, real temptations, rejection and ridicule for our faith. So what can we do when this happens? Well, the good news is that we can always pray, "Breathe on me, breath of God," and go to his word and sacraments, because through them, God breathes his life into us again and again. Jesus is not physically present to breathe on us as he did in that room to the first disciples on that Easter night. But he still breathes on us in baptism. He breathes on us through his word, the Holy Scripture. He breathes on us as we receive his body and blood in our Lord's Supper. And in living out our Christian life, the Holy Spirit continues to be with us always. So, as you confirmants get ready today to make your confession of faith and speak your vow, as those of us who have been confirmed remember our own confirmation, and as all of us think about how God has breathed his life into us, let us pray together that initial prayer. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love all that you love and do what you would do. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.